This is CliffCentral.com.
Baby, I'm the baddest. Good morning, good morning to you. This is CliffCentral.com, where it is the unview, the
thin,
the rich, and the fabulous. On CliffCentral.com.
How are you in this cold Johannesburg morning, Alan Ford?
I went to a KitchenAid cook-off on Tuesday night after landing back from Cape Town.
Or Kitchens of AIDS? What's that about?
It's brilliant. It's a KitchenAid is a brand.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Suzanne Richter, brilliant, was at the cookery. And she said, you look very miserable. And I actually was miserable. And I didn't know why I was miserable. I'd come back from a phenomenal time in Cape Town. Matthew Marinus and I were busy running around filming and cutting that lovely edit for the new cooking show with Cameron van den Berg, you know, that you worked on.
Yes.
And then the reason was because I was cold as I walked into the airport, and Cape Town was so warm and beautiful and dry and a drought-infested country, what do you want to call it? But I was so cold, and it made me miserable.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I'm so sad.
Do you think other people are miserable this morning?
I think people are cold. You know, we're not used to this. Because we've had such a beautiful summer. And then everyone's dry and I'm all crackly. And I'm all, you know, and so we just need a week to get into it. But it just was so weird coming from Johannesburg with a T-shirt on. Coming from Cape Town, which was so warm and beautiful.
Yeah.
Straight into Johannesburg where I was all cold and nippy and I had to find a jersey. And it was weird.
You know, June and July is kind of the time for Christmas carols, so it's getting close.
Not really.
Oh, no. Feel the magic.
Oh,
don't you feel it, Al?
No.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Oh, no.
But the fire is so delightful.
Oh, no.
And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Eh? No?
Actually, we could be doing such... You know what? Cuddling is winter. It's so nice to cuddle.
It is nice to cuddle.
Yeah, but,
and if you have a fireplace in your house, it's also wonderful.
And lovely red wine. Oh, excellent.
All I have is a USB stick with a fireplace on it. And I put it in my TV and it crackles in the background.
And lovely. I have the most beautiful pillow that I can snuggle with at the moment. So it's
You and I. Pillows don't fight back. So it's wonderful, yeah.
Anyway, on that note of actually nice, happy music, you and I spent a wonderful night last week.
Yes.
I thought it was incredible.
Just the three of us. We had such a wonderful date. Oh, there were four of us, actually.
Yeah.
There were four
of us. I was blown away.
Oh.
Blown away. I must tell you, Avenue Q was exceptional. And I loved, as I said, I've seen it twice in New York City.
I have to say, I didn't know what to expect from Avenue Q. I'd heard good things about it. But actually sitting there and taking it in and watching it was absolutely
brilliant. It's brilliant.
Phenomenal.
Everyone has got to see the show. And it's so, what I love about it, it's puppets, it's rude, it's un-PC, it's inappropriate, but it's nicely executed.
It's not so un-PC that it makes people feel uncomfortable.
No.
So, they've just balanced it so beautifully.
This is really, really good. I mean, it's got to be one of the best shows. I mean, and it opens with "It's Got to Be Me."
Yeah, well, there's a song that's for you in this. Al,
is there a song for me? Yeah. Of course, there's a song for me.
There's a song
for everyone.
Well, or maybe it's for me.
Okay, but just so you know, if you were gay, that'd be okay. I mean, 'cause hey, I like you anyway, because you see, if it were me, I would feel free to say that I was gay, but I'm not gay. Nikki, I'm trying to read.
Can you relate?
I can relate. It's a really, really good song. If you were queer, yeah. Special guest on the show, Dawn Lindberg, joins us in studio. We're going to put her headphones on. Let's get her some cans. Of course, it's a great, great musical. But I've got to just take this off because I'm so happy today that we're doing this show, because we so often have the best actors and the best musicians and the best, but we often forget the best producers and the best directors and the best. And so today I dedicate the show to the producers and the directors, and that is why I want to open with what I thought was such... When I saw the sign at Peter Serene Theatre, Avenue Q, coming to South Africa, I thought, no, no ways. Who's got the money to do this? Who's got the balls to pull this off? Jaco van Rensburg and your team, well done. Are you there, my friend?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. It's myself and Kwesi Smith that's co-producing
I
this.
Know.
We're extremely excited about
you
it.
You and Kwesi, absolutely. I was going to mention him. And, of course, it was brilliant. Jaco, I cannot tell
Yay.
You. I can't wait to tell everybody to go and see this because it is... I mean, I know that Nathan Rowe doesn't go to a lot of theatre because he's always performing.
Right.
Throughout the country, and you were blown away, and your girlfriend
yeah.
was blown away.
Oh yeah, no, we absolutely loved it. We're probably going to go see it again with some friends. Not
That's
not
awesome.
That you're not my friend, Al, but you know, it's some other people that aren't theatre goers. We want to take them
right.
to show
yes,
them.
Yes, we want to convert them.
Yes, of course, and into naughty puppets. Yes.
Absolutely. You know, Jaco, yeah. what I loved about the show is I loved the fact that I'm telling you, you hit Broadway. I saw it twice on Broadway, and it was so wonderful to see that you really knocked it out the park. And I think
that's really awesome. Yeah, I have to
hard.
Say, like,
it's difficult. This is a hard production.
Yeah, we definitely didn't want to do a copy or a clone of the show. So our director Timothy LaRue wanted to make it sort of something really unique, and I think he succeeded without trying to reinvent the wheel. He's just brought something so really truly unique to this production, and we're very proud of it.
Well, you know, as I said, I've seen the show. I know that Dawn will be at Dawn Lindbergh, our very special guest and studio, will be at opening night. But the interesting thing is, if you've seen it before, the most important illusion is that you start to forget that the people. No
disappear.
Longer disappear. They disappear holding the
yeah.
puppets. That you don't end up seeing the people, even though they're there all the time. And I
yeah.
love that. I thought the accents. I thought, and you made a very good point, Nathan. Nathan said to hold all the accents all the time was brilliant.
Especially while some of the actors are actually voicing two of the puppets that are being controlled by someone else.
It's
that
crazy.
That absolutely blew
yes.
my mind, yeah.
It blew my mind. Well, I've seen it, but I didn't expect you guys to pull it off.
Well, hi, Alan. This is me jumping in, and it's Dawn Lindbergh. I saw Avenue Q some years ago in London, and I remember just loving it, but thinking to myself, wow, this is a difficult, difficult piece to actually pull off. And from what I'm hearing from you now, just right now, obviously they have. And I just wanted to say to Jaco and to Kwesi, well done, guys, because, you know, it's not easy, this business that we are all in, all of us mad people. But you've done some great productions already, terrific productions, and all strength to you. And I hope Avenue Q does bring in, what is it, the adults? Because there is an age restriction, isn't there?
Yes, there is. We've put an age restriction of about PG-16 on it.
Wow.
In the States, they had a PG-12, because I think they are a little bit more liberal than us. But we felt 16 would be good for South Africa.
Why? We're very liberal in this country. I mean, I wanted to bring my grandchildren, but they're 8 and 7, so I'm not sure if Josh would approve.
Yeah, in the States, they don't let you drink until you're 43. So.
But you can drive
at 12. People ask this all the time. People ask us all the time, what is the right age for me to bring my kids? Can I bring teenagers? And
yes.
I really think it's all in how you bring your children up and
exactly.
how mature they are and what you're willing to sort of expose them to. There's nothing sort of, I don't think there's anything lascivious about the production. It's just that it deals with adult themes like homosexuality and racism in a very funny, contemporary way.
Well, I think
and
the
also
younger,
when
the Quest
and I initially started talking about the project, what attracted us to it was that we felt it was something for our generation. And we're really passionate about making theatre for a generation that theatre speaks to. And because we're in our sort of early, mid-30s, this is the kind of stuff that we would have liked to see on stage.
Well, I think you should put a PG restriction rather than an age.
Listen, I think I'm going to say this. The The sex scenes are a bit hectic. A little bit. I mean, listen.
Puppets.
I understand, but it's a bit hectic.
I've seen worse.
I've seen much worse.
Alan is blushing. You see, Cliff Central needs to become television. But anyway, Yaku, you
actually mentioned to us on the night that that's one of the struggles you're having is people see puppets on the poster and they think they're going to bring their kids along. And the adults think, oh, it's for kids, so I'm not going to go. Is that something you're still battling with a bit?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely the biggest part of our sort of campaign is to educate people about what it is, because it is so unique. And when the creators created it, they grew up with Sesame Street in America, which teaches kids about life's little lessons. So what they tried to do was to create an adult version of that where youngsters who just finished college don't know where to start in life, and this show has all the answers about looking for an apartment and what your purpose in life is
and what a BA degree gets you.
Stuff. Exactly, in the most fun and hilarious
way. It really is good. Yaku, I want to just again, and I'm happy that Dawn's here, because I think it's so nice to see young, up and coming producers reaching for the stars.
Absolutely.
And going for the big productions. I think it's important.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing enough of it. I think that, and that's why, we need to, and maybe more collaboration needs to happen with the, let's say, the up and coming producers.
Yes.
But because this is a big investment, this is a lot of money, and it's just to get the rights, for example, from Broadway.
Yes.
It's huge.
Absolutely.
So well done. And I've got to tell you, I can't wait throughout the next 10 weeks. We want different characters to keep popping in and singing with us because. And I've got to tell you, I'm grabbing Gareth Cliff and we bring him along to see. It's got to be me.
Yeah, sure.
So it's very, very fun. Congratulations. Please go and see Avenue Q. It opens this Saturday. It's in preview at the moment. We went to the opening of a preview night.
Opening preview. It's like the
pre thing, and
very first performance.
And like leaked footage.
And the thing is that we thought it was perfect, and you said, look, there's a few tweaks. And I'm like, wow, really? So could you imagine by Saturday night, opening night, Dawn, you're going to see...
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. Hot to trot.
Absolutely.
Jacob van Rensburg.
We look forward to
Chrissy
having
Smith.
You guys. Thank you.
Congratulations. The show is called Avenue Q at the Peters Arena. It runs for 10 weeks. I'm telling you now, and it's a bachelor party thing. It's a bachelorette party thing. It's a thing... You know, like always looking for something to do. This is the thing that you must do with your mates.
I agree.
And your wife-to-be can't get angry because you can say, she was a puppet.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
What do you mean you watch strippers and sex on stage? It's just puppets.
You know, one of the things I find so fascinating about Avenue Q as well in South Africa is that in America, you have whole schools dedicated to clowning and puppeteering and stuff. Mm. And here... We don't have stuff like that, and these actors have just taken to it, and they do it so beautifully.
So well.
I mean, when you do look at the actor's face, the emotion gets completely put onto that puppet, whose face can't really move at all, and you feel all the emotions. And there's some quite touching scenes as well.
Absolutely beautiful.
And Ryan Ryan Flynn was exceptional. Ashley was exceptional. They all were exceptional.
Yeah, very good.
Exceptional.
We're going.
Go and see it. Gotta go and see it. Please go and see the show. It's brilliant.
So welcome our guest.
Our very special guest into studio, the one and only Dawn Lindberg, of course, the CEO of the Naledi Awards. And of course, Gareth, I don't know if you heard Gareth earlier when I was on his show to chat about what's coming up, and he said he has to do a shout out and a proper salute to Des and Dawn Lindberg, because they keep the acknowledgement and the theatre awards and theatre love very much in this country, because if you're not applauding or lauding these phenomenal stars and directors and people that are in this business, people get lost in the wayside. And he said they are the kings and queens of theatre.
Oh.
So, which is really cool.
Thanks, Gareth. We've been very, very fond of Gareth.
Theme music.
Yeah, but we thought this is important for you. So,
thank you.
If you don't mind, just before you open your mouth, just wait. This is the best way to open for you, dear. Are you ready?
Almost.
Yeah, let's go. And this is just for you, because your name is the one and only. Morning has broken. Like the first morning,
blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the dawning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Wonderful song. Thank you so much.
It's dawn and morning is broken. Well,
the only song we could find with dawn in it, sort of.
Thank you so much. Well, I do like my name because it does sort of feel like the morning and new things are going to happen. Mm. And I am a morning person. I always wake up. I believe I was born in the dawn of the morning because I know that I was supposed to be a boy, so my parents didn't have any girls' names ready. And so the nurses called me Pete until my father looked out of the window and said, "Ah, dawn is breaking. Okay, she can be Dawn." So that's what I've been.
That is, what a cool song.
Wonderful song.
To church with the song, but it is.
Who wrote that song again?
Cat Stevens.
Oh,
well,
Cat Stevens.
I don't know if he wrote
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know he performed it.
Yeah.
My grandmother's name, she was named after this family in Natal called the Gillets. And in those days, apparently, you named your daughters after rich people so that in the hope that they would marry them. I don't know what the story is. But her name was Galicia.
Ooh,
and
no.
Her second name was Dawn, and she hated Galicia. She was Dawn for the whole
life. You can't call anybody Galicia.
No.
Oh, shame.
Shame.
But, you know, talking of...
So your name would have been Pitt.
Well, if the nurses at the Addington Hospital in Durban had had their way, I had this little band around my wrist, apparently. Pitt. Oh, shame. Poor me. But anyway, so you always say people have got to have balls in theatre, and I suppose even though I'm a... I've got, you know, them up here. I've got
breasts.
Breasticles.
I've got whatever they are. But talking about affirmation, you know, every human on this planet, every single human from when you are a very young child needs affirmation for what they do and for their achievements and for excellence. They just need it. When you're a little kid and you come home and you say to you, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, I got a gold star. I got a gold star." And you're smiling from ear to ear and Mommy says, "Wonderful." And you win a race at school and you got those terrible little cups. Remember those little cups
little
we used
cups.
To get?
We all got cups.
We loved those little cups.
They were made out of real gold.
And... You know, when we started Naledi, there was absolutely nothing to recognize excellence in South African theatre. And it worried me so much because we have world-class theatre in South Africa. And the people, they bust their balls, seeing as we talk about balls on the Cliff Central show. They do. Every single night, they're on stage, and I'm filled with awe, you know, having been an actor, an entertainer, director, producer, you know, for 52 years. I know what goes into these, to pull it off every night. And so it's an honor, I think, to do the Naledis. And I've got a wonderful team of judges who have to see over 80 productions a year. Yeah. And although we still struggle, as we always do, for funding, we all work pro bono, all of us, you know, it's kind of like worth it when you get into that theatre.
And when you realise that that can change the way you do a lot of things and the way you see stuff. I do want to say something about that because people don't understand, and we've discussed this before, if I ever would think about being a judge or that type of stuff. You've got to understand, it is so great to see the Avenue Q's, the Priscilla Queen of the Desert, the West Side Stories, the top productions. But a lot of the time you're going off to some performance artist who wrote some piece that really is, and I'm not trying to be ugly, give everyone, is really pathetic, it's really bad, and I don't want to mock people. But you've got, so you realize that maybe 30 or 40% are really, actually maybe like 20% are excellent and very good, and then your next 20% are actually good,
yes.
And then the next 20% are like okay, mediocre, and then the next 40% are really bad.
Actually, you know, that's not really true. I don't think that we have 40%
bad. I'm just throwing a number.
I would almost say maybe 10%, because you know, I think if they just don't survive, then you know, if they're really bad, and
but you've still got to see them.
Well, the judges do.
Yes, take your time out of your life to waste, but to spend an evening on something that isn't
sure,
great.
Yeah, that is true, and the judges are not allowed. It's an absolute irrevocable rule. They're not allowed to walk out of a show at all, you know, because they'll be seen. And yeah. You know, even I can remember seeing about four really bad things, and you kind of just put your mind somewhere else. But most of the theatre really that is put on today on our South African stages is outstanding. It really is, and it's very hard to come up with our nominations and of course the winners even worse.
Have you got another copy over there, or did you bring one?
I only brought
I've
one.
Got it in
you
front
said
me.
You had it on your phone.
We have it on my telephone. Yeah. It's all over social media, and yes. People were so proud. Dawn, I love the fact that people like Brian Schimmel put there, I can't believe this is my 10th nomination.
I know, he put it up huge on Facebook.
I know, and Sylvain Strike, I can't believe we've got 8 nominations. And yes. And that is so cool, yes. Because all of a sudden, it's just saying to people that my work is seen and heard. And I think it's important.
And that the ladies are valued.
Yes, of course.
You know, and not only are they on everybody's CVs, but they're internationally recognized now. Mm. And if anybody wants to work overseas, the embassies or their lawyers, you know, come to us and they say, can you please give us a letter of endorsement or proof that this particular person has won or been nominated for the ladies. And we certainly have been instrumental in getting work permits for people like Sean Taylor, who now lives in Australia. Yael Farber, of course, is one of the top directors in the UK, and Jonathan Rocksmith and many others. I've written endorsement letters for, and I'm so proud of that because it means that it hasn't all, you know, just been taken for granted or not valued. And the nominations reveal on Monday.
I'm so sorry I wasn't there. I was in Cape Town, but I mean,
I know you were, but the vibe was, you know, it was amazing. You know, just the support of each other and the way people cheered and applauded for each other is so heartwarming. It just makes all the hard work really worth it.
It sounds different to the Soapy nominations because they only clap for themselves.
I know.
No, it was such a don't do that. Don't do that. I am a judge of that. Let's leave.
Well,
this
stop clapping for yourself then.
I was a judge. I wasn't an actor. we're going to chat to you, and I'm so happy to have on the line Sylvain Strike.
Yes.
You know, again, Gareth says, you know, we do this whole promo, what's coming up, and Gareth said Gareth was obsessed with Sylvain's voice. Because she was the voice of Cell C.
She was the voice of Cell C, yes, you remember. Right. Oh, yeah.
And we have her on the line. How are you doing, Sylvain?
Hello, how are you, boys?
Oh, I'm so good. Here we go.
I don't think she's quite woken up yet.
I know, no, she has. But you know, Gareth said I must get you to do this. Can you do the Cell C voice for us, quickly?
Wait,
why did I know you were going to do this?
Because we made you do it for the last 20 years.
No, you know what we should get it to do is give us a new sting because we don't have one.
Oh, we do actually need a new sting, actually. Okay, so let's do the Cell C voice first. Go, Sylvain.
To advertise Cell C without being paid for it.
Okay, don't do that.
Oh, come on.
Sell Block C.
For yourself.
Advertise a place in Portsmouth.
Right, I agree to do the tagline, and that's it.
Okay, go.
Cell C. For yourself.
We love it. Sylvain, firstly, congratulations, director, the producer of this Muliev Tattoo.
Indeed.
It's phenomenal. And again, there's a reason I wanted to speak to you, Sylvain, because often we miss these phenomenal productions. And I'm saying we, meaning people like Nathan and myself, theatre goers, we miss them because, you know, they're not at the, maybe on the biggest stages or they're in the festivals. I'm just saying as a generalization. And all of a sudden you think to yourself, how did we miss that and how are we going to see it again? And I think that's a very important thing that awards like this do, because often people that didn't see the movie sees the win a few Oscars,
yes.
And then all of a sudden they're buying, trying to go and see
harder
the movie.
For live theatre, of course,
much
because
harder.
Once that run is over, it's kind of like over. And the whole point of the Naledis is to raise the profile of South African theatre and to broaden its footprint. But it's publicity while the shows are on that we need.
Correct. Which is, there is a lesson in it, because sometimes we miss that.
Hello, Dawn. I didn't know you were on at the same time. I thought you were dead.
Hi, my darling. Yes, now.
Hello. Lovely to hear from you. Lovely to chat with you.
And congratulations on your nominations. That really is wonderful.
Thank you so much. Well, we're thrilled. I mean, the company is absolutely thrilled. And predominantly with a Best Production and Best Ensemble Award. I mean, that for us is everything that we were striving towards, because it was a production of high quality, and the ensemble work for a two-hour show that was written 400 years ago. It's quite something to have the audiences captivated by that in this day and age. So we feel like we've achieved just through those nominations for those what we were set out to do.
You know, Sylvain, but there was another interesting debate that happened when we were judging, and that is, can a production be nominated for Best Ensemble and still have individual actors nominated? And to me, it's perfectly clear. Of course you can. An ensemble means that the whole depends on everybody in the production pulling together. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't people who shine and there are standouts. Right. So I'm not sure how many individual nominations you've got now, because I don't count everybody's, but there were quite a few, I know.
I think there were
Kutcher Green and Craig,
indeed. And I think that's indicative of you know, how individuals also stand out in the production.
Of course.
Some, you know, might not, they might shine just as much and yet, you know, in terms of a nomination, not crack it. That's why ensemble, I think, is such a big thing for us as a team. And to answer your question, Alan, I wish that it did work like the film, but, you know, putting on a production after it's garnered more attention, a sort of a return by popular demand, is financially so incredibly hard. And I wish that it did work with popular return seasons, because shows attract traction through the awards, and sometimes it does work like that. But with Tartuffe, for instance, it's a cast of 9 and on the whole a team of 15, so that's what we've got to sort of rally up again, depending on availability and depending on funding. But I do hope we have another return season.
Did you take a video, or did you film the show when it was on?
Yeah, it was beautifully filmed. We were very privileged to have professional filmmakers in. And so it was edited, and it exists as a DVD, which is absolutely sublime.
Good,
as well
we
as
need
the making
that
of the show.
For the ladies, you know, we want to get little clips of all the nominated shows.
Right. I can totally get that to you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Sylvain, but there is another gift in it, is that all of a sudden we're going to be looking for your next production. And what's coming up next? Because I think it's a good thing. So let's go there. What is coming up next?
Well, it's a year since Tartuffe. We ended it last July in Grahamstown on having tours around the country. And I had a little break and went straight into pre-production for a Sam Shepard play, which opened then in March this year. It was commissioned by the Woodfest Festival in Stellenbosch.
That's
the one we want. And it's the one Joburg's been wanting, and we're battling to find a space for it. So at the moment, we're in negotiation with the Joburg Theatre and waiting to see if they can get us a slot. Hopefully, that will be next year. But already this year, we can look forward to Curse of the Starving Class by Sam Shepard at the Baxter Theatre in October.
Okay. The work is out there, the new work, and that's it. It's always...
It's actually such a great problem to have, that there's almost not enough theatres for the amount of productions that are coming out. And it's going to be, I think, that should change shortly. I'm sure people are going to start opening more, hopefully.
Well, we've got a wonderful little theatre called Pop Art in Maboneng, and they're doing really edgy, terrific work.
Brilliant.
And so that's a new one. The Soweto Theatre, it's kind of finding its own market, I think. And it's is obviously geared to the people who live in Soweto, but they've got three or four theatres there. I'm not quite sure.
It's magnificent. In fact, Tartuffe opened there. We premiered there.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah, we premiered there last year. So that was where we kicked off that national tour. Completely extraordinary.
You know, I always say this. You can't expect, if you love the theatre, then it's wonderful to take yourself out your box And I'm not saying this, but don't always just go to the same place. There are plenty of places to go. Mm. I went to watch Lyle Ramsden. They had a small little production with Chris Comedian, Which was a theater in the park.
Which was beautiful.
And I thought, well, I'd never seen the theater in the park in Delta Park. What an incredible little space.
All over the world, every theater in every nook of every different city caters for a different audience and also brings a different experience. And we have a lot of theaters. It's about finding the work that interests you. And as you say, not only frequenting that one theater, which will offer you a certain type of work. You know, a Monte Cassino will offer you a type of work, and the big musicals, for instance. But to look at the little niches, as Dawn says, pop art, theatre in the park,
Olive Tree, Alex, UJ, Brooklyn, there's a lot of them. And what is very important for people to understand is that with Naledi, we're very cognizant of the fact that there are these smaller productions and they don't have big budgets. And two of our most important criteria, one, it's got to be fully professional, and two, it's got to have a total of 10 performances. But now we say, okay, that's throughout the year under review. So they can maybe do 4 shows at Pop Art and 3 at the UJ Concowan and another at So Solo or whatever. But it's got a total 10, and they've got to be in the Gauteng area. So that's opened up the possibility of Naledi's actually assessing many more.
Particularly for young theatre makers who can't sustain a full run at a particular space. It's very expensive to rent theatres and so on. So I think that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Sylvain, I've got to say something that I can't wait to get you into studio.
I would have a blast coming in.
You'll have a blast. We're going to make you sing, and we're going to play the ukulele, and we're going to do some crazy things. We make you do crazy things.
I would love that.
And so we're going to say goodbye to you because we've got obviously a lot of other guests joining us. But I do want to thank you. Congratulations. And you're superb. Yeah, and as you know, I can't wait to have you. We cannot wait to have you in studio.
Well, divine. Count me in. And thank you so much for having us.
You know, when you win the award, we actually want you to bring it in because I want to see what one looks like. Because I know it's not one of those cheap little gold trophies.
No, it's not.
It's quite beautiful.
And I'll visit you with it.
Well, Sylvain never ever disappoints. I mean, she's just one of our treasures.
She is a treasure. Wow. Sylvain Strike, thank you. Director, producer, actress.
For holding us all together year after year, making it possible for us to have a standard in this industry.
Thank you. Thank you, darling.
Superb. Thank you. That's Sylvain Strike. Cheers.
Cheers.
See you soon in studio. So, again, lots of incredible things happening. Nice to people are excited. I saw Facebook went crazy, which I thought was cool, which is really cool because everyone. Yeah. Because it's nice to tell your family and all your friends, look what happened.
Yes.
And I love that. And one of them was Brian Schimmel, who we'll chat to you in a moment. I do want to just to acknowledge something, and I want to try and play it if we can. You did something so interesting talking about Facebook recently. Hold on, I've got to get there to you, Nathan. I thought this was great because I haven't seen you in. I mean, basically, this shows you the power. Let me get to Facebook.
You know, lean Facebook. Over me.
Oh. Let me go to Dawn. Hold on, Dawn. Dawn, make conversation.
Well, all right, I'll tell him what he's going to do because he's being very naughty, but it's going to be very sweet. A friend of mine lives in a little town called Vakkerstroom. Now, Vakkerstroom is in the middle of nowhere, and it's in Mpumalanga somewhere. And it's famous for its birding. It has wonderful wetlands and lovely art galleries, and once a year they have a classical music festival. But it's a tiny little dorp, and it's entered itself in the Dorp of the Year competition. And I think it's gotten to the finals. But anyway, this friend of ours said, oh, Des and Dawn, won't you please, just do a little promo for us because you've been to Vakkerstroom and you love it. And so we did this, Alan's going to play now.
I love this, that you did this for
Vakkerstroom.
Vakkerstroom.
Wake up river, wake up stream.
But seriously, so this story, I had to just, because you hold on.
Upington and Camperdown, Vakkerstroom and Grahamstown, Dunbar in Dandaloo, Olifants, Fontaine, Riek Prawn, Riek Huis, Riek Op, Riek Keur, Riek Vlak, Riek Van, Riek Water, in 16, Riek Fontaine.
Des and I have travelled the length and breadth of South Africa with our show Folk on Trek. We know every dorp and town, and for us, Vakkerstroom is among our top, best, and most charming dorp choices in the whole of South Africa.
Affectionately called Slaapstroom, Wakkerstroom stands out because of its lovely little restaurants serving delicious spokesy fare, funky art galleries, picturesque guest houses, unique cheeses and beers, and the unsurpassed flay, and that wonderful wetland, making it a dream for birders.
And of course, the annual Wakkerstroom Music Festival. Wakkerstroom is a dorpie we will visit again and again. Cheers!
Cheers!
Wow. I so want to go to Wakkerstroom.
Only Des and Dawn could get the Hardy Dars to come in at the right time when they talked about the birds.
Yes, they were there. You know, on our, we did it on our patio, so there was...
But I love that. And thank you. And I tell you, on behalf of Wakkerstroom, this is going to go viral. And we're going to become the most popular show in Wakkerstroom. So we've decided, even though we haven't been there, that Nathan and I and the Unview here on cliffcentral.com has picked Wakkerstroom as the dorpie of the year.
We should actually do a dorpie of the week.
We should actually. That's so cool.
Really should, because they are wonderful dorpies, as you know from that song, Rietfontein's. And I think we've been to just about every dorpie that is in South Africa. And Wakkerstroom does have its charm. Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have done it if we didn't believe that.
I am so happy that you did do that. And I'll tell you why. Because these little towns, and I love what the Afrikaans Theatre is doing. Afrikaans Theatre and musicians are doing.
Yeah.
They're going to all the little dorpies. And
yes.
When they're having a feast, all these people get in their cars. And you know, we forget that there are thousands of people living in small spaces in South Africa. You put a few thousand people together, you've got a rock show. You've got a great theatre production, you know, you've got a feast, you've got a festival. And I want to just say that because a lot of the times, I mean, for Leersdorp, for example, they have a car and an tractor festival. But you know what? You've got 3,000 people looking at tractors and vintage cars, and then you've got someone like Karen Zoid getting up on stage, or Francois and Coke, and they're rocking, and that's good business. And that's sensical business. Because you can't just always be in the main street.
I always feel sorry for the residents of these little dorpies when they have a huge festival, like poor little Clarence there, when they have their Clarence Beer Festival and it just gets absolutely overrun.
But people make their money.
But Clarence is quite big, you know, and it's very tourist-oriented.
Yeah.
Wakkerstroom is tiny. I think there are only about 100,000 people living there. But
100,000? 100,000 people is a lot of people.
Well, it is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it is. I think that, Frances. She's an artist, Frances Kendall.
And there's beautiful galleries, and I mean, as you were describing it to
me. Yes, she built a beautiful house there. And can you believe it? I mean, that's where she's now living. It's about 3 hours, 3 1/4 hours from Joburg, and it's worth a visit. So there we are, Wakkerstroom.
Will you get hold of her and send her the podcast? Because
I will.
This is a Wakkerstroom show.
Oh, they are
a dedication to dorpies and to South Africa and to Wakkerstroom.
But you know, getting back to the Naledis, Afrikaans Theatre, although they do have most of the Afrikaans productions go to the festivals, Artklop and Kaka and Ka and so on. You know, we've got some wonderful nominations this year. For example, Karlse Opa, which is directed by André Odendaal, and that was produced by the Market Theatre in association with Kursie Smit, and directed by André Odendaal. Yeah, I said so. And then we've got Die Reuk van Appels, which was an astounding one-person show.
It did well all over the country.
Yeah, that was directed by Lara Bai and produced by the State Theatre in association with Theatre Rocket. And, I mean, that was an extraordinary work. So those are just two of the Afrikaans productions that have bubbled to the top.
But, Dawn, I'm going to say something about being commercial in some sense. Isn't it incredible what Kate Nett and Corin Maron has done for the theatre industry with the Fiesta Awards, with sponsoring things like or putting it on, putting the Naledis onto Cake Net and Mnet. It's big.
Well,
because you need that. You need that for sponsorship. You need it for a lot of things.
Yeah, we're very thrilled to be on Cake Net and on Mzansi Magic because we are the first theatre awards that is on television. You see, Fiesta is only for Afrikaans, and we embrace every single culture. Mm. We're also very proud of the fact that we're now getting quite a lot of mother tongue productions, and so our white judges struggle a bit, but the ones that we've chosen so far, you know, are so beautifully, amazingly produced that we've been you know, able to comprehend them. And so I'm always constantly looking for more black judges, of course. Mm. But to get them to then go and see, you know, all the shows, it's a struggle.
It's judges in general, because if you have to see. I know Matthew Coonan, who's obviously Chatty Matty. He was one of the hosts of the show here on Cliff Central. Matthew, he spends 3 or 4 days a week in productions, watching shows.
Well,
besides,
yes, that's what I do.
You walk out of your personal life. You can't go to a birthday party because you've got to go. Obviously, you do, but I mean, you can't go to have dinner with this person and go have lunch at this person and go to this birthday party in 1 week. Or do an MC job, because you can't. You've got to get all these shows in for you to be able to judge it. It's not easy.
It's not easy at all.
And it has to be noted, because this is not an easy thing.
No, it's a huge commitment. Mm. And luckily, Des and I have always worked from home, so I always can work in my own time. But you'll see me at my desk at 10 o'clock at night, or you know, I'm as I said, a morning person. Does that mean, what am I, a lark? Yes, I'm a lark. Yeah, yeah. And I often
or
get
a
up.
A hardy die if you're in South Africa.
Yes, I often get up in the middle of the night. Because if I have a night off and I go to bed early, I still wake up in the middle of the night, and then I'll sort of go downstairs quietly and I'll be at my desk and I'll quickly do some emails, and people will say to me, what on earth are you sending me an email at 3 o'clock in the morning for?
And did you say, it's still the morning?
Well, it's, yes.
I'm a morning person.
And then I have my little dog sitting at my feet, Ninja, my Yorkie, and then the cats come padding in.
In the day's work,
yeah,
of Dawn.
All in the day's work.
Well, I've got to tell you something that it's one of the proudest stories that you come across, I think, from having a huge problem in the U.S. with drugs to fighting and talking about the cause of HIV and really getting awareness and creating awareness, to talking about a speech impediments, and then to be able to become what I think is South Africa's best musical director. And I mean, I can say what I really want to say because I can. I'm not a judge. And then all of a sudden posts on Monday, my 10th Naledi nomination. And then you think of all the brilliant work that this man does, that this kind, good man does. Brian Schimmel, we had to bring you onto the line. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, Brian, again, you're a champion in so many different fields. But 10th nomination, incredible.
I was actually listing them last night because I had to be sure that it was 10, but yes, it is 10.
What was the first? Give me the middle and give me the last. So I know the last is Priscilla.
I'll give you the quick rundown. Chicago, We Will Rock You, Rent, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Nights of Music, Dream Girls, Jersey Boys, Marvin Hamlisch, Annie, and Priscilla.
Wow, amazing.
And four of those were wins.
And four of them were wins.
Which is, I must just say, brilliant. Brian, again, this show is about acknowledging these people that are behind the scenes. You don't see that every note, every member of that orchestra that is performing is conducted by a musical director. You don't think, you just see what's on stage, and you forget all the behind the scenes people. And I'm so proud to have you on because you are exceptional.
Thank you.
What do you love about being a musical director? And here's the big question: how do you go about finding the talent?
Well, I'll ask the first question: what do you love about it? Well, you know, it's first of all, you have to want to love leading. You have to want to love having responsibility, and not every musician does. You know, most musicians who will play in an orchestra or play in a band are happy to be part of the ensemble and be directed. Whereas with me, you know, I've always enjoyed the rush and the responsibility that, you know, that what starts at 8 o'clock is like a runaway train. And you are vulnerable and you're exposed in that you're in front of an audience, and it doesn't matter what goes wrong or how it plays out, you are almost entirely responsible for the way that show runs at any particular performance. Because if you think about it, you're responsible for the tempo of the show. You're responsible for ensuring that every piece of music starts when it's meant to start. And everything in a show is about cues. Everything is about people relying on people. You know, that everybody is taking a cue from everybody else. But both the cast and the orchestra are looking to the conductor to for guidance as to when to start singing, when to come off, when to do this, when to do that. So it's a feeling of accomplishment at the end of a show because of the amount of responsibility it carries. And and you get the awesome thing of just being the boss, which is cool. How do you choose talent? Well,
Edwin, yes. I think what we all love about you is your energy that just comes through in every single part of you when you are conducting, and I think that's wonderful for the performers as well, because they can pick that energy up from you. And
thank you. I mean, that sort of ties in with having to have the responsibility, is that you also have to set the energy level for the show. And you know, it doesn't matter how tired I might be, or how end of the week, 8 shows a week I might be, if I don't lay down the energy of the show, the cast won't follow.
It isn't easy, but the fact of the matter, it's not even the cast you're talking about. It's backstage. It's an orchestra. It's a number of musicians.
But as Dawn says, I come at it with passion, and I always have.
You do. I want to just tap into something, Brian, and I've got to say something and I love this. I never forget when I first met you. You came onto 3 Talk. I think we'd met a few times before, and we spoke about speech impediments, and you changed people's lives there. Okay, because I can not even tell you the emails of people who are proud to get that work or understand what that meant to someone like yourself who's so successful. To then see the work that you've done with HIV and AIDS and creating an awareness about, you've got to be medicated and be proud of this is what it is, okay, and this is the story of why you've got to protect yourself. But now, again, you've started and got so involved with the soundstage and Born to Perform that tonight you have got kids. I'm your MC at a golf day, raising funds to help put on a performance for young people to be able to perform, number one, number two, to get these slightly paid, and then to create scholarships for kids that can't go to performance art schools. I think, again, incredible stuff. And but you're going to be there tonight, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
I have a show.
I've gotten very involved in the Born to Perform program this year from a point of view of aligning with Matt and Gemma Marinas, who are the founders of Born to Perform.
Brilliant.
I really believe in what they are doing, and so I've gotten very, very involved in their rebranding, in their creative concept of their show. But the reason why I've gotten behind that is because, I really believe that instilling an interest in the arts in young people has a multiple knock-on effect. It's not just about taking young talent and building it and developing it, which then builds an industry in the future of our country. But I think what is immensely, immensely, immensely important is to not only educate young audiences as well, and to go, even if you don't want to be a singer, even if you don't want to be an artist, a pianist, a musician, by you at a young age of anywhere between 8 years old and 18, by you developing a love for the arts, you are our next generation audience. You
and
are the
performers.
Person who will come attend the next generation of shows. And it's also, it's been proven in many, many psychological studies that kids who grow up with art and music, whether that becomes a career or not, are more tolerant, more accepting, more understanding, and have more rounded lives. So that's, you know, that's why I'm so strongly behind a movement like Born to Perform.
Well, our categories for young audiences, we've got a category for children age 0 to 12, and then 13 to 17, which does include some set works, and then best performances for young audiences are very important categories. We also are very proud to be partnered with ASITEJ South Africa, which is a strange word, isn't it? But it's a movement, an international movement that builds and focuses on building young new audiences. And so you're absolutely right, Brian. I don't know why the arts are not compulsory in every single school in South Africa.
I mean, I was quite stunned the other night, and I can't believe it's taken me as long as it has, but the other night I went to the opening night of Footloose at Red Hill School.
Brilliant.
And the principal got up, and he said, you know, in most schools where the arts budgets are being cut, he said, we've gone the opposite way and our arts budget is being increased for that very, very reason. And I thought that was incredible.
I must tell you, Brian, I think that the work that people are doing, like in the arts and completely in the arts, is really important. And that is why when Nathan and I put the show together, when we create a show like this on Cliff Central, because again, the media is not doing enough for the arts.
Yes.
The communication industry is not doing enough for the arts. The broadcasters are not doing enough for the arts. And I think it's about time that we realize this is such a phenomenal, firstly, career. But also it's a way to go back to some beautiful basics, and to the basics of music and the basic of theatre and touch and feel, and it holds so many.
It's absolutely fundamental to the human spirit.
Fact
that more and more South Africans are writing their own stories now is what really excites us at Naledi.
As long as they can rewrite that, who came home? What was that, calling me home or something?
No, don't worry about that one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to give it a go.
No
offense. But Brian, we're very, very proud of you. I look forward to seeing you tonight at this golf day. It's interesting where we always cross paths. But I will just end by saying again that the great work you do for the youth orchestra, the great work that you do for across the board, please know that, my friend, we salute you. And congratulations, your 10th nomination. Well done. The one and only musical director, Mr. Music himself, Brian Schimmel. Thank you for being on the line with us.
Did you know that Brian Schimmel is, he also flies. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Airplane.
No. He flies over the orchestra while conducting it to the flying maestro.
Not always, but he does trapeze work now.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Brian.
So he's very...
And he's so fit. And Brian.
Yeah, he comes to my gym, and he's got a trainer. He's got a personal trainer. But,
he's fit and healthy.
He's very fit and very healthy. And
and what a change.
Good body.
And what a change in someone's life. Eh? What a shift to be able to turn that around. That I think is absolutely brilliant. Dawn, we're going to leave you soon. Not in the world, but in the shows. We're running out of time.
Oh, goodness.
There's so many things to talk about. But if you could say one thing about, firstly, the Naledis are happening in June.
Yes, 18th of June.
18th of June. Mm. It happens at the Lyric Theatre.
No, not this year.
Sorry, where is it this year?
Well, it's still under wraps.
There's a big reveal. It's going to happen.
The Lyric wasn't available this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out where it's going to happen.
Yeah, we've just got to get enough money. That's it.
And I'm just saying that if there's any beneficiaries that you know, that you're listening to out there, that really want to get involved, please do. This is fundamental to the industry.
Well, the Naledis is for the entire industry, and in fact, theatre is for the entire country. So we're starting a crowdfunding. It'll go live probably today or tomorrow. In fact, from you, I'm going to a meeting on how to do crowdfunding. I have no idea.
Well, I'll contribute.
Anybody can put in any amount of money. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever you can. So we'll let you know about that when that goes live.
Please send me that information next week. I thank you and Des and your team and your committee. Your chair people.
Yes.
Is Dali Tambo still?
No, he's so busy. You know, he couldn't. No. So our new chairman is Chamotso Christopher. You know, beautiful star. She's got a law degree. She's marvelous. And our new executive director is Leon Pretorius, also legal. He's an attorney. And he's also...
I love that. See people coming, infiltration from all sectors.
Yes, yes.
And that's what you want.
And then our deputy chairpersons, or people, or men, or whatever you call these things, are Selemaka Nkube and Meshma Ponya.
Yeah, we love Selemaka Nkube. We love it. It's
Meshma Ponya. Yeah. And then directors Mbongeni and Gamma has just joined the board of directors.
See, these are cool people.
Yeah, very cool people.
And that's what I'm saying. These are big awards. It's important that we're getting behind it. Congratulations.
Thank
to your
my
team.
Darling.
The one and only Dawn Lindberg has been our very special guest in studio, along with some really great producers, musical directors, actresses, all on the show. But of course, as we go through up until the awards and after the awards, we're going to get everyone comes in. I mean, that's the cool thing. And so we'll be doing it. Thank you for coming through to us.
Great pleasure. Awesome. Great pleasure, darling.
Alan, can I give a quick shout out to some high school teachers?
Yes, please do.
If you're a high school teacher teaching English and Othello is your set work, then tomorrow is the last day that Othello is showing at UJ Theatre. Performances at 9 and 12, and then they're heading to Brooklyn Theatre in Pretoria from the 21st to the 25th of May. And this is an amazing production of Othello, and I think it's just great for students and teachers.
And Margie Coppen, apologies, we were supposed to have you on the show, but we did run out of time. But please, you're the producer of Othello, and it's important that again, a good translation, if you don't get it in terms of paper, go and watch the shows. It helps you. It
makes so much more
sense.
And
there's another great play that's just opened last night called Visiting Mr. Green at the Auditorium General Theatre on the Square. Absolutely brilliant.
Is it?
Oh, it's wonderful. With Michael Richard and Roberto Pombo.
We'll get them in soon.
We will go, yes.
Yeah, you must.
Love having you with us, Nathan Rowe. We'll see you next week.
The rich, and the fabulous.
This is CliffCentral.com.